What's going on? Happy Thursday. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. Coming up in just a minute, myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube. But first, let's recap the day on Wednesday for the Cincinnati Reds. It was certainly an interesting one from start to finish. Christian Encarnacion Strand was placed on the IL with a new fracture in his wrist. CES is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. Here's what CES had to say about the injury.
It's been tough. I didn't know there was a new fracture. We didn't really know there was a new fracture. It wasn't progressing the way I thought it was. And last night, I really felt that it wasn't getting better. So I mentioned it, and we went and got it checked again, and it ended up being a new fracture.
The Reds then made a surprising move. The Reds signed Mike Ford to a one-year, $1.3 million major league contract with some additional bonus incentives. It's been a wild year for Ford. Back in February, he signed a minor league contract with the Reds. He was invited to spring training, performed really well, but he didn't make the team, so he opted out of his contract to try to find another job. However, guess he couldn't find anything. On March 28th, Ford re-signed with the Reds on a new minor league contract, went down to AAA, played well for the Bats, hit .297 with 6 home runs. But on May 4th, Ford was released by the Reds after he triggered the opt-out clause in his contract because he had not gotten selected by the Reds, basically trying to find somewhere else another opportunity. But guess there wasn't anything for Ford, or at least not what he was looking for, and he's back with the Reds, and this time in the major leagues. Mike Ford, before the game, talked about the crazy 2024 for him.
The plan for today was to go fishing with my dad back home. I think we're both in line of thinking that this is a better place to be. I've been definitely labeled as a bat first guy, I think. That's what I really enjoy doing. I like working counts. I like working through an at bat. I pitched when I was in college, so I just kind of like to work along with the pitcher and try to have an intelligent at bat, provide some power, and I think with some swing changes from the off season, that kind of carried over into spring training, and then in AAA, starting to hit the ball the other way, just trying to get back to being a complete hitter, and the past 2 months has kind of proved to me to just keep doing what I'm doing, and trusting in that, and that's a lot of confidence. Just to have the full log of at bats last year, and then come into spring, have a good spring again, say, man, I can do this again. is a very relieving feeling. For I think anyone in this game, and probably the most confident in the swing I've ever been.
Well, hopefully Mike Ford can tap into some of his success that he had in 2023, a sort of a breakout season. Just hit .228, but actually had a .123 WRC plus, a stat that I like to use, basically showing that he's about 23% better than the league average. Hit 16 home runs with the Mariners in just 251 plate appearances, so hopefully the Reds can get some of that magic back, because they certainly need it. All right, now to the actual game. There was no score going into the bottom of the second. That's when Tyler Stevenson doubled, and then Stevenson ended up on third base by an error by Gurriel Jr., the Diamondbacks left fielder. After a hard line out by Espinal, a ball that actually smacked off of A. Eugenio Suarez's glove, bounced right to shortstop Kevin Newman, he threw him out. Wild play, just another unfortunate thing that's happened to the Reds during this losing skid. But after that, Stuart Fairchild singled home Tyler Stevenson. Fairchild was out at second base on a pretty incredible throw by Gurriel, but the Reds took the lead. It was the Reds' first lead in 44 innings. However, the Reds would end up stranding two runners when Luke Maley was robbed of a hit on a nice play again by Gurriel. In that second inning, Reds 4 hits, just 1 run to show for it. We talked about that a lot more later on today's show. But in the top of the third, Ashcraft, he gave up that lead pretty quickly right back. He gave up a leadoff single and then a double, and the lead was quickly erased. Ashcraft will end up walking in another run in the third inning, and the Diamondbacks took a 2-1 lead. But in the bottom of the fourth, Tyler Stevenson had a leadoff single, and then later in the inning with two outs, Jamer Candelario doubled him home, hitting a double off the left field wall, tying the game up at two. Ashcraft worked around base runners in both the fourth and fifth innings, but in the sixth, he gave up back-to-back singles, and he left two runners on when David Bell went to Fernando Cruz. Cruz ended up giving up a weak single to the leadoff hitter, but then he was electric after that. He would retire the next five batters, including striking out the side in the seventh, but the Reds trailed 3-2. In the top of the eighth, Lucas Sims gave up a home run to our old friend Eugenio Suarez. That made it 4-2 Diamondbacks, and that insurance one would prove to be pretty costly for the Reds. Because in the bottom of the ninth, the Reds did try to get a rally started against Diamondbacks closer Kevin Ginkle. Jake Fraley pinch hitting led off the inning and worked a really fantastic 10-pitch walk. Mike Ford then came to the plate making his Reds debut, pinch hitting for Fairchild. Ford, however, hit a lazy fly ball out for out number one. Then Jamer Candelario smoked a single, his third hit of the day, putting runners on the corners. TJ Friedl, the next batter, then singled, his second hit of the day, making it a 4-3 game and put the tying run 90 feet away with just one out. David Bell then went to Will Benson to pinch hit for Luke Maley. Luke Maley DHing against a left-handed pitcher on Wednesday night. The Diamondbacks, however, countered. They went to their lefty, Joe Manaply, and he struck out Benson on a check swing. And then Jonathan India hit a fly ball 306 feet, but it wasn't far enough for out number three to end the game. Reds lose 4-3. Reds have now lost seven straight games, and the Reds are 16-20 on the season. After the game, here's what David Bell had to say.
Best thing, obviously, there in the ninth, coming up short again. Is it tough, not frustration, not to sink in the clubhouse at this point?
Our guys are doing great. I mean, of course, there's frustration. We're really close. You know, it may not seem like that, but I know from being in our clubhouse, in our dugout, around our guys every day, all day long, like we're super close, and we just have to keep going. So our players continue to do what they need to do, and you know, it's difficult when you're not getting results. You get a bit consumed with the results, and that's natural, but it's never a great idea. So. Yeah, we just have to trust what we're doing, and we'll break through.
Did you see enough signs tonight to add to the confidence that you just talked about?
Sure. Guys had good nights at the plate. Give the D-backs credit. They played good defense. You know, Montgomery, obviously a good pitcher. You know, we had some good at-bats off him, and he was able to go deep into the game. He stayed with it and, you know, kept pitching, and, you know, that was impressive. But offensively, you know, we did have some guys that had some good nights, and, you know, and that is definitely a positive that you can build on, and everything matters.
Graham said he was struggling tonight, just didn't have it. What were your impressions?
Pretty good start for not having it. Yeah, I mean, really not a lot of hard hit balls. Not that that's everything. I mean, not taking anything away from what the Diamondbacks were able to do off of him. But Graham has good stuff. And even on a night, you know, where maybe it wasn't his best, he gave us everything he had. And, you know, we right there at the end had an opportunity to win.
And here's Red starting pitcher Graham Ashcraft.
I'm making some adjustments with your lower half. Your velo was back up. You happy with the adjustment you made?
I mean, the velo was back up, but just felt like I was trying to do a little too much. You know, if there was some pitches there to where I was just overdoing it, and I was yanking the cutter, yanking the slider down, leaving the two-seam up and in. I mean, it was just one of those days to where, I mean, stuff just really wasn't there. I felt good, but executed some pitches when I needed to. Got some double plays when we needed it, but too many walks, too many pitches not in the zone. I mean, I got to attack and make sure I'm getting ahead early. So,
is there such a thing to the velo being up, but you need to make another adjustment that you're not pulling
pitches? Yeah, I mean, me and DJ talked and during the game, and it was just kind of like, hey, like, why don't we just try to settle down and kind of dial it back in. And went back out there in the fifth and had a quick inning, putting stuff where I needed to, got a bunch of soft contact, and went back out there again for the sixth, did the same thing. And I mean, both those hits, I felt like they were executed pitches. I mean, it was a soft flare towards right field, and Gino just hit it up the middle where nobody was at. I mean, it was just a good piece of hit, and can't really do anything about it. Executed pitches, it's just they got the best of me, so.
It's the third inning, Brandon, one that kind of sticks with you because you guys get the lead and come back and get the two.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's partially where I get about, like, the executing the pitches. I was just leaving stuff kind of all over the place. I wasn't really filling the zone up to get it to where they would chase at some of those pitches, and that's kind of the big part of it. When you don't fill the zone up and you don't execute, I mean, it just leaves it open for them to take until it's in the spot that they want to hit.
What's the level of frustration or feeling that you guys are having right now going through this?
Oh, I mean, it's high, you know. Nobody wants to go out there and lose a game. We're all going out there. We're trying to give it everything we have to win, and it's just not going our way right now. And, you know, if we keep going out and keep playing the way that we know we can play, I mean, we're showing flashes of it. We're having good innings at the plate. We're making some big plays in the field. It's going to come together. I mean, it's baseball. It's a long season. You know, we're just in a real rough stretch right now, and we're going to get out of it. I mean, we just have to keep pressing forward and just keep, as pitchers, we have to keep attacking the zone, putting our best stuff in the zone, and getting chased when we can. And the guys, they got to keep going up there and doing what they're doing. I mean, they're hacking. They're hitting the ball hard. They're hitting the ball right at guys. I mean, it seems like we've had a lot of bad luck at the plate recently. And, I mean, I know those guys are frustrated because they work their tails off. These guys come in early and leave late, and they're hitting all day long. And it hurts. I hurt for them just because I know how bad they want it, and I know how hard these guys work. And, I mean, it sucks to lose. I mean, none of us want to lose. We're not trying to lose. We're trying to go out there and win every single game, and it's just not going our way right now.
Where do you see the overall body? I
mean, you know, we try to keep the positivity. We try to stay up and do the best that we can just to take it day by day, game by game, inning by inning. And it's just, I mean, it's baseball, man. It's not easy. There's a reason there's only a certain number of us that have played at this level. And we just got to keep going out there each day and just giving all that we have because, I mean, we have a great ball team. We just got to put it together. And when we do, I mean, it's going to be fun again. I mean, we just got to get back out there and grind.
All right, well, another day, no home runs from the big league club. So we turn to Tyler Callahan for our DSC deep drive of the day, as Callahan hit his fourth home run of the season on Wednesday for the Chattanooga Lookouts. And our deep drive of the day sponsored, as always, by DSC Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production, specializing in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks, as always, to our friends at DSC. All right, well, let's check out scores around the NL Central. The Brewers, they lost 6-4 to the Royals. The Cubs lost 3-0 to the Padres. Pirates, they lost 5-4 to the Angels. So, good day overall for the Reds. The Cardinals, they were rained out against the Mets. So, NL Central standings on Thursday morning. Still a tie atop the NL Central. Brewers at 21-15. Cubs at 22-16. Still a tie for third place. Reds at 16-20. Pirates is 17-21. Both the Reds and the Pirates 5 back in the division, and the Cardinals are 15-21. Reds sit 2 games out of the final NL wild card spot. All right, well, here's myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube. Stick around at the end. I'll tell you about all of the Reds minor league action from Wednesday and also preview the series finale against the Diamondbacks.
All right, Nick. I can't believe it. Another losing edition of Chatterbox Reds. Reds fall 4-3 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. A team that I don't really think's that good right now either, if we're being honest. I guess we'll start the show off. I don't really need to ask how you're feeling. I don't think I need to ask any Reds fan how they're feeling right now. We all feel relatively the same. I won't ask you that. I'll just ask you if there's anything that you'd like to add here.
Not a whole lot. I mean, as fun as the shows were last year when we had the 12-game win streak, yeah. It's the exact opposite right now. Not a whole lot of fun doing these every night, if I'm being honest. But we'll power through because,
right. You
know, you can't have the good times unless you go through the bad times.
Boy, I'll tell you what. The Reds fans, we figured out the bad. I know that. We figured out the bad. I hope at some point we get to We get to reap just as many good times as we have bad. All right, let's do this. You can't lose this game. I don't know. The baseball gods can't let us lose this game. David Bell, he gets way too much hate more times than not. And that's what happens when you're the manager, to be honest. I mean, you're going to get no praise, all the hate. You don't win games, you lose them. And unfortunately, this is a game in which it would have been nice. And I don't know what availability people have, but just seems as if there's just not enough good players on this team right now. Because I don't, Will Benson going lefty on lefty there at the end of the game. I don't know, Nick. Like, and I'm not, I guess I can't blame him because it, the other options have never proven themselves either, you know? So it's not like there's this person on the bench that you'd think that you would 100% trust to get the job done. Will Benson, lefty on lefty, just got to put the ball in play. Not capable of putting the ball in play. And once again, Nick, we'll focus on the ninth inning, I'm sure, but there's another inning that we're going to talk about that was the most important inning of the baseball game, and it just went the most unluckiest way you could possibly go, for the Reds, that is. But it just seems like, again, we can't stockpile the right at-bats up at the right time. We strike out with guys on third base with less than two outs in the ninth or eighth inning when we need to get that run in, and then the next guy comes up, and inevitably they fly out to right field that would have scored the guy from third base. Like, if you flip-flop, right, if you flip-flop India with Will Benson, which I know you can't do, but if you did that, it's a different game. It just seems like this team, one, I'll say this, I don't think this team's very good. Two, I don't think this team's that bad. And lastly, I'll say it's getting to the point where, like it or not, there's a must-win game is coming within the next 2 days. I'll just say it like that. I mean, maybe that's over the reaction. Maybe you can kill me for it later. I hope everyone makes fun of Trace for saying that on May 8th. You got to have a must-win game. But at some point, losing becomes contagious. And right now, they're sick as a dog. And I don't know. They need to find some way, somehow, to just get out of this rut, to start playing even some semblance of 500 baseball. I don't know how you feel, but that's how I feel about it.
Well, on the ninth inning, I'll give a little bit of criticism. Probably should have pinch hit Benson in Ford spot. I think he wanted to go to the shiny new toy first because Benson cannot hit left-handed pitching. He cannot. I don't know how many times I have to say it. He's 4-for-31 now this season. He's 10-for-77 in his big league career. He cannot hit left-handed pitching. Mike Ford has had reverse splits throughout his career. Now, will that stay forever? I don't really know. But he's clearly a better hitter against left-handed pitching than Will Benson is. Now, it's maybe a little bit of hindsight because,
of course,
are you anticipating the Diamondbacks closer is going to get out of the game and you get the lefty up? But, you know, clearly if you look back, it would have been much better to put Benson up against the right-handed pitcher and save Ford. So I don't know.
But to be fair to Bell, I'm just saying, of course you want Ford to hit in the spot in which Benson was hitting in because of the situation, but you didn't know that situation existed when you put Mike Ford in the game. Mike Ford came up with an opportunity to tie the game with one swing of the bat. He probably thought to himself, hey, I'm going to give myself a chance right here to do some damage. And maybe if Ford hits a double right there, they tie the game regardless. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just be clear. I'm not disagreeing with you. I would just say Ford's at bat and Will Benson's at bat would have produced the exact same result for the Cincinnati Reds, whether you flip-flop them however which way you wish. Okay? It's not like Ford hit a deep fly ball that helped. No, he popped up. He didn't do anything special, and neither did Will Benson. So at some point, like you know, I don't want to jump all over it, but I'm saying at some point, Nick, the players have to execute. They just do. And I'm not trying to give David Bell a pass every single night, but I'm just saying, like, he did his best with what he had. I was just saying, would you have entertained the idea of going to Capel? And I know you can't do that because you had Maley DHing.
I mean, Connor Capel was first at bat with the Reds against a lefty. He's a left-handed batter too.
Right.
I don't think it really matters, but I don't think we should crush David Bell. I think that's a very, like, it's a completely hindsight move, but it's probably a good learning experience that you should probably use Will Benson in the one spot where you know he's going to face a right-handed batter and not save him because he might not have a spot where he has to face a right-handed pitcher. Because Will Benson has a chance to get a hit off Ginkle or a walk or whatever. He does not have a chance to get a hit off of a lefty very often. So I would say maybe that's
fair.
That's just that. That's really in the weeds. I'm just trying to give an example of something I saw, and I did that actually did end up really backfiring. I guess going back to the game as a whole, I mean, no one's going to want to hear this, but of the 7-game losing streak, this was the most competitive game, for whatever that's worth. I mean, the Reds did get 9 base runners off Jordan Montgomery. They had a pretty good rally in the 9th. All the losses count the same as the 11-1 loss. Like, that they're all losses, but you hope that there's some carryover effect. But it was definitely a better performance. It wasn't a lifeless performance or whatever adjectives you want to use for some of the other games.
Listen, I don't know if you want to do this now. Do you want to get in the bottom of the second now, or do you want to wait until we get through Ashcraft and Cruz?
You know, we can switch this. It's no big deal.
Okay,
let's switch it.
Let's talk about this because I think this was the game. You know, I know everyone's going to point to the 9th inning because when the 9th inning is the most freshest thing in your mind, it was right in front of you to have the ability to tie the game. It was right in front of you to have again as we've gone down this path, Nick. This is 2 times in the last week where the Reds were 1 base hit away from winning a game. That's all they were. India hits a ball in the gap right there. Hell, no, you don't need to hit a ball in the gap. He hits a ball up the middle. The Reds win. We're not talking about this. Who was it the other night? I can't even remember anymore who was up the other night. But I know Ellie was up there. He ended up striking out, and I don't remember who made the last out. But my point is, bottom of the second inning was the problem. You get a double from Tyler Stevenson. You have the most fluky, ridiculous thing. Like, this is the depths. When we talk about it couldn't get any worse, like, it's continuing to get worse. Let me just read this from MLB, because this is just downright abuse. Santiago Espinal lines out to third baseman Eugenio Suarez to shortstop Kevin Newman to first baseman Christian Walker. If you would have told me this year that I was going to have to read something about the Cincinnati Reds and the sentence had Santiago Espinal, Eugenio Suarez, and Kevin Newman in it, and all in the same situation, I would have just, I would have been honest, you'd have had to find another partner. But that's beside the point. Go ahead.
Trace, that ball was hit 100 miles an hour off the bat of Santiago Espinal.
Yeah, it almost took off Eugenio's glove. I legitimately almost took off Eugenio's glove. It literally trickles over to Kevin Newman's little noodle arm, and his little noodle arm barely got it to Walker in time, and that was an out. So let's just paint the picture here. We get a double. We get Tyler Stevenson. Oh, by the way, he advanced to third. Okay, he's at third base. It was a double, but he was at third, to be clear. He doesn't advance to home, so you're like, okay, tough luck. Fairchild, then he rips a single down the line. And I'll be honest, they made a good play. I mean, it would be nice if they could just suck there. It would have been nice if they just bobbled it a little bit, whatever it may be, or just throw the ball a little offline. But nope, they didn't. They made the perfect play. Why? Because they're playing the Reds. So Stuart Fairchild, then he's out. Then Candelario singles and TJ Friedl singles, and then you have Mailey, which again, I'm not trying to say that it was the best hit ball in the world, but it was well hit. And Gurriel comes over and he slides and makes a catch in left field, and the Reds get 1 run out of all that. Out of how many good at bats we had? We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 good at bats. 6 good at bats in a row, and they got 1 run. You can't make this up, man. You can't make this up. Like, this is like somebody walking up to somebody that's on the streets and just pissing all over their lunch that they finally got. You know, it's like they finally got a nice warm meal somebody dropped off and someone just dropped the trousers and pissed all over it because that's what it felt like in the bottom of the second inning. And then from there on, honestly, it was back to the same old Reds to a certain extent. I don't want to go that far, but, you know, couldn't break through. At some point, Nick, it'd be nice to hit a home run with a couple guys on base, but that's here. Yeah.
At some point, it'd be nice to hit a home run.
Yeah, well, I don't want to. I'm trying to be greedy. We hit two of them last night. There were two solo jobs. I don't know. That's my synopsis on the game if you didn't watch it. If you did watch it, I'm sorry for bringing up bad memories. Did you have a problem with – you didn't have a problem with Ivis Fairchild going to second. I mean, I don't know how you could.
This was the same left fielder that just bobbled the ball that let Tyler Stevenson get to third base. He's not a very good defensive outfielder. I would encourage you to watch that highlight because that's what people comment. Watch where Gurriel was when he threw that ball. Like, that ball is slightly offline. No one even remotely thinks about why did Fairchild go for second. He's trying to make a play. I mean, you know.
They made a good play. You know why? Because they're playing the Reds. Like, I don't, you know, like, just let us have something. Like, that's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking. And you know what? Maybe our president will come in July. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. I'm the rich kid that sees all the Christmas presents underneath the tree, and I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of waiting. If I got to watch more of this every single night, and by God, thank the heavens above that they actually look competent at the plate tonight. But that's the most unlucky inning that you could possibly have. You realize Santiago Espinal hit a ball 100 miles an hour, Nick. It ripped off Eugenio Suarez's glove. And literally, Kevin Newman, how he's playing shortstop for a Major League Baseball team still is beyond me. Is beyond me.
The defending National League champion.
Yeah, well, they're tough down on their luck. I don't know what the hell happened, but by God. You could have bought, and I almost did just as a bit, you could have bought Kevin Newman's cleats last year for $5 at Reds Fest. That's his value. Signed cleats from Kevin Newman, $5. I said, son, what size do you wear? I might get you for next year. Can't get these prices at the out the outlet store. Turns out Kevin Newman, the only thing he's worried, the only thing that's big on him is his feet. Now I don't know about the other part, but I'm just saying his arm's not big, his bat's not big. He doesn't have a very big head. But go ahead.
Well, he's got cement on his feet.
That's
why
true.
The cleats are so big, like you said last.
That's true. Yeah, that's a great point. You're probably going to have to back into U-Haul to get those cleats out of there. That's why they couldn't get rid of them. They got that quick crete in the bottom of them. I didn't pick them up, to be fair. I don't know, man. I'm just frustrated, guys. I the fact that Eugenio Suarez and Kevin Newman are playing on a freaking baseball team together and I just watch them play well, it's the icing on the cake, as they say. It is what it is, man. I don't know if we suck or what, but I will say this, at least I didn't have to listen to Barry tonight. I'm not trying to take a ricochet shot. But that was actually enjoyable. Anyways. All right, I'm done ranting and raving. For now, at least.
I mean, Candelario had 3 hits, so that's definitely a positive. Need a lot more of them. So hopefully that he's turning it around. I mean, he looked much better at the plate. Like, we weren't cheap hits. I thought he had some pretty good at-bats. Obviously, Friedel had 2 hits. He also had a bunt single that was a incredible play by Marte. It wasn't a bunt single. He tried for a bunt single. Marte made an incredible glove flip that robbed him of a hit.
Yeah,
so,
he did. That was a good bunt.
I mean, Friedel could have had 3 hits. So, support Tyler Stevenson continues to play well. Other than he did have one unfortunate pop up with a couple runners on base, but I mean, he had another good day. He's playing really well. So, I mean, there's a couple positives in the lineup. I mean, need some more of them.
Yeah, we need a lot of positives.
The Game Time app is now an authorized ticket marketplace for Major League Baseball. That makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch. With killer last-minute deals, all-in pricing, views from your seat, and the lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. With all-in pricing, you can toggle this feature and it shows you the total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. The lowest price guarantee or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with the Game Time app. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CINCY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, and redeem the code CINCY, C-I-N-C-Y, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last-minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. And we also want to remind you that you can call or text 988 at any time, day or night. The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is a place to get support for anything related to mental health. Whether it's an immediate crisis, simply wanting to find out how to connect with care, or anything in between, it's a 100% confidential, secure, and anonymous way to reach out for help when you don't know where else to turn. To connect, call or text 988 or visit mantherapy.org to get help. It's okay not to be okay. Maley did have a pretty bad read. I mean, I'm not going to kill him. I mean, it was a tough luck. Ball hit by India, their right fielder, Pavin Smith, I think did a pretty good job deking him. I think more outfielders should do stuff like that. And, you know, the ball was right in front of him. Maley got thrown out. And that was just another, you know, salt in the wound in this game. So,
yeah, it was.
That was part of it.
It was. There's a lot of salt in the wounds in this game because this is a game they should have won. I don't know if that's a positive or a negative, Nick. I can't. I feel like I genuinely, my brain is broken with this baseball team. There's nights like tonight where I would have loved to like be proud about the way that they battled to the plate, the way that they looked at the plate, all of those things. But I also am like looking and I mean, they lost again, like seven in a row. Some point. Are we in last place yet? I hate to look, but
I think the Cardinals still holding that fort down. No, I mean, a game like this, if this is in the middle of a normal, you know, stretch of baseball, you go, hey, this was a nice effort tonight. Just didn't work out. You know, it's really easy to shake a game like this off if you're playing even like 500 baseball in the month. Like, you're like, oh, no big deal. It is what it is. It's baseball. It's a long season. It's just when it's lost number seven in a row,
right?
It really, really hurts.
Yeah, they're a game away from being in last, obviously. And luckily, the Cardinals got postponed.
Rained out. Yeah.
I don't know. Let's get into some, I guess, semi-positive things. Ashcraft, Cruz, Sims, not so positive. Ashcraft threw the ball well again. Like, these starters are doing more than they need. Like, they're fine, you know? I don't know how else to say it. That's what gives me some hope. I don't know. If you were going to tie yourself to something to say, you know what, this is why you keep watching, because this is the only chance, like, this gives them a chance to turn it around, it is their starting pitching. It genuinely is. I don't know if you have anything else to add about Ashcraft, but he's just a competitor. That's who he is.
Yeah, he fought through. I mean, obviously, you know, it would have been nice. The only thing I would have really liked to see is just a shutdown inning after that first, when they scored the run in the second. I mean, that's being really greedy, but
yeah,
I mean,
that's what you call,
that would have been a huge lift.
That's what you call, and I agree with you. That's what you call, though, starting to treat the pitchers, or the starting pitcher specifically, you're starting to look and treat the starting pitchers differently based off of the offensive production. Right, like
yeah, you're begging.
Like, if Hunter Green goes out and he gives up three runs in six innings, right? People are going to crush him when they inevitably lose 4-1. It's like, dude, how about we just score five runs? I don't know if we know, but you can actually score. It's like six, seven, eight runs in a game. You're allowed to do that. What do you say about Sims? Cruz. I'm glad Cruz came in and dominated the way that he has looked previously. He gave up a little cheap hit. Okay, if someone wants to get on him about that cheap hit he gave up. Kick rocks, okay? Came in the next inning, he shoved. I don't know what to say. I'll let you talk about Sims.
Yeah, Cruz was great. I mean, what a performance by him, especially, you know, striking out the top of the order in the seventh. His stuff looked great. Yeah, I don't know. Sims, it's getting a little concerning. I mean, it's 11 innings. I don't want to go overboard on a guy that's been a good pitcher for most of his career. He's had some ups and downs. He didn't walk anyone tonight. That's been my bigger concern with him. Like, his walks have been through the roof this year. But he hasn't been a guy that has gave up a lot of home runs. Last year, he gave up only 0.74 home runs per nine inning. That hasn't really been his problem the last, really since he became a reliever. That was his problem as a starter. But ever since he's been a reliever, he's been He's had really good home run per nine numbers throughout his career. So he didn't walk anyone out. He did strike out two. Again, I say a million times, I don't get too upset when a reliever comes in and gives a solo home run. I get more upset when they walk a guy. So I feel like it kind of would be a little disingenuous to be too hard on Sims, but he hasn't got the results at all this year.
No.
At the same time.
No, him and Pagan are kind of in the same boat where you think in your mind that if you give them enough time, Nick, that it'll all kind of work itself out. They'll end up having probably some pretty decent numbers. But when you're going through a stretch like this, everything's magnified, man. It just is. I mean, hate to say that, but unfortunately, over the next two or three days, if you don't have a relatively decent outing from a pitching perspective, you're going to get crushed. Like, this fan base is going to remember it much more than if you would have blown a lead or blown a save in the middle of July when this team was going 500. So, CES. I don't know. Okay, here's what I'm going to do, Nick. This is one thing that I am semi-serious about. I really dislike, and maybe it's just because you get in this Twitter vortex or X vortex, whatever you want to call that app now. It seems like we always have to have, like, everybody's always got to have the got you moment, or everybody's got to be the, oh, look at me, I was so smart, or I was right. And it goes back and forth, and listen, more times than not, maybe one side's right. More times than not, maybe one side's wrong. I'm not here to debate or defend one side versus the other. But I'll just say, like, it does seem wild. It just does seem wild to me that he's actually hurt in the manner in which now they're saying he's hurt. I don't mean to be a conspiracy theorist, Nick, but I don't know if I believe him. Like, Not that there wasn't a previous fracture, but now they're acting like there's something different there to where now he has to go on the IL, and maybe that's why he was struggling in the first place. Again, people might think I'm crazy for saying this. Oh, the Reds wouldn't do this, that, and the other. Like, I'm not saying that they're putting him on the IL on purpose because they have a semblance of a reason or an excuse to do it, and the way that he's performed is giving them an opportunity to do it. A la Graham Ashcraft last year when he was throwing the ball unbelievably poorly. And the next thing you know, he had an injury. He took some time off, got a rehab start or two in, came back, and was great. I want to believe that more than I want to believe that this training staff just dropped the ball. I don't know which side you're on or what you believe or what you think should happen, but I'm going to venture to believe that the Reds are smarter than what they're saying actually happened, and this guy's had a broken hand or whatever it was, wrist, for what has it been, 2 weeks now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to question doctors on the way that they said they thought what it was. I mean, I would say, like, a wrist injury, I think people always expect a perfect answer to everything. Like, it is for sure 100% fractured right there. I mean, I think there's a little bit of, you know, you don't know exactly everything until it kind of heals and stuff like that. I don't know. I think people playing doctors on Twitter is a little wild to me, but to each their own. The Reds have been pretty cautious, though, with these types of things. Like, the Reds don't let players come in sick. So I feel like if the Reds thought had any, like, I feel like the Reds would have been more conservative in the way they approach this. Like, so if they were told, well, we only think that there's a 30% chance that he's re-injured it, I feel like the Reds will be like, oh, let's be cautious, right? Like, that's typically been the Reds' approach to most of these things. So I just have a hard time believing if they thought that there was any real risk of him injuring it worse, that they're going to run him back out there, because that's not the way the Reds have operated at all in recent memory. And they've gotten criticized by a lot of people for being too conservative with these types of things. The one thing that I kind of took away from this is I was kind of like, well, it's almost kind of encouraging that there is some sort of injury with CES, because if it's just poor production, that's really concerning. And I'm not saying that, like, absolves all of the concerns with CES. I mean, his plate discipline, there's some real concerns with his approach at the plate, but at least you maybe can explain away some of why he's been as bad as he's been. Hopefully, you hope that it was this injury that he didn't even really know was there that was a major impact on why he's been so bad this year.
I hope so. I'm not buying it. I hope you're right. I'm wishing you're right. I pray that you are correct in your assessment. I'm not buying it. I think that, like I said, I just stated what I thought. I really do believe that this guy's maybe had a previous injury that kind of healed up and everything's theoretically fine and doctors think that he's okay, but you know, maybe Nick Kroll and David Bell kind of went to the old medical staff and said, hey, here's the situation. Like, something's not right here. He's not playing well. He's chasing pitches all over the place. Don't you think it's the wrist? I think it's the wrist. All right. Let's send him down. Going to take a little bit of a break. Get him acclimated. Let's give ourselves another roster spot. Let's be able to play, you know, with more men on the roster than not. When we actually enter a Major League Baseball game, we get a full-fledged roster. And we'll go from there. I hope you're right, because if you're right, it makes it seem as if the production might have fallen off because of an injury. I think the guy's just chasing pitches left and right. He's in his head. And, you know, a la Will Benson last year to start the year off. So we shall find out what ultimately comes of it. Rhett Lauder, he gets promoted. Listen, Rhett Lauder was dominating. I don't know. I can't believe he started in single A, to be honest. But having said that, maybe they wanted to get his feet wet, make sure that he was in a position to be successful at the beginning of his career. They didn't want to have to be regressive. Similar to like Jackson Holliday, perhaps, where you send a kid up and he goes 1-for-20 and now you send him down and now there's these weird vibes about it. So maybe you didn't want to start him in AAA or AA. AA, I think, was more appropriate, but I even thought there was a chance he'd start in AAA. But anyways, he's getting promoted. Anything that you want to add on Rhett Lauder?
Real quick before we get to that, I did want to make one quick comment. I do think Mike Ford in the short term is probably going to actually improve the Reds than what CES was giving you. Long term though, it's CES was your power hitter. This was the only guy that was projected to hit above 25 home runs this year for the Reds. He was your one big power bat. Ford has some power, but it's nowhere near what CES is. So CES being out is a huge, huge void for this team. But he had been a void at this point, so it's kind of one of those things where it's not going to hurt you right now, but I think that it's something that might catch up with you as the season goes on. On Rhett Lauder, I think the Reds probably started him at Dayton, maybe more so just because of like how well run Dayton is. Like, Dayton is like their premier minor league organization by far. Like, it's better than Louisville. I mean, I think anyone that's you know, been around the Dayton Dragons knows it's very well run. So it's a really good spot to put a guy like Rhett Lauder to get his feet wet and all those type of things. Whereas Chattanooga maybe doesn't have the same reputation. So, you know, you started there. I think that might have as much to do with it as anything else, if I'm being completely honest. But yeah. I don't expect he'll stay at Double A all that long. I wouldn't be shocked if he gets to Triple A before the end of the year. I would be shocked if there's an opportunity if he gets on the big league roster at some point this year. A lot of it's going to depend how does he adjust to Double A, but we'll have to see. I mean, I expect he'll do well. I don't think he's going to have some crazy learning curve, but no. You never know with these guys until you actually see them out on the field.
And that's the best point you just made right there at the end. I think you don't know until you know, and I would also say that about CES. We can adjust and assume and you know, we all were excited about CES, and I was right there in that bandwagon. But at the same time, we all have to realize and take a step back and look ourselves in the mirror and actually say, you know, CES really hasn't done a lot to make you think that he's 100% a big league player. And that sounds, again, not trying to sound the alarm and not trying to be negative or say anything, you know, disrespectful towards CES, but, you know, at some point as an organization, if we're going to say our goal is to win the NL Central, then there has to be expectations that you must live up to be able to continue to have your job at the big league level. And they're going to give some leash or some rope to some guys, obviously like CES. And I'm sure if Marte was here or McLean was here, they were going to give them extended time. But there becomes a line in the sand at some point here. If this Reds club is to be competitive or what we as fans and what their organization you would like to think would want them to be, you can't just keep running a guy out there that is a below average hitter playing a premium position that should provide some power, period. And that's what we've gotten all year long from that position. And, you know, I don't know if we want to bring up
tonight's another night where we failed defensively, period. And it's, you know, say it's one play all you want or whatever, but you know, Candelario, you know, misses a ball. Yeah. I mean, it's just, this team doesn't do anything great. And that's unfortunate.
And Ashcraft didn't cover a base. He thought the ball was going to get passed over Candelario's head. All right, well, let's get you caught up on all of the Reds minor league action from Wednesday. We'll start off with AAA, where the Louisville Bats won 4-3 over Indianapolis. Austin Wins hit a go-ahead RBI double in the eighth inning. Bats improved to 18-17 on the season. Unfortunately, though, Connor Phillips did not throw the ball well in this one. Louisville's starting pitcher went 4 1/3, gave up 3 runs, but walked 5 batters. And Connor Phillips has now walked 23 batters in 29 1/3 innings pitched in his 7 starts this season. He's got an ERA of 8.28, so certainly not the start to the season that Connor Phillips was hoping for. Fortunately, though, the bullpen much better for the Bats. Alex Young, on his rehab assignment, he threw a scoreless inning, struck out 2. Casey Legamina retired all 5 batters that he faced, striking out 2. And then Tony Santion threw another scoreless inning as well. Not a whole lot on the offensive side, at least from players that we're tracking. Blake Dunn was 0-3, did drive in a run. Reese Hines 0-4 with 2 strikeouts. Levon Soto, he was 2-4, drove in a run. Nick Martini still has not yet appeared for the Bats. Down to AA, the Chattanooga Lookouts, they swept a doubleheader against the Tennessee Smokies. They won game 1 6-2, and then they won the second game 5-4 in 8 innings. Minor league doubleheaders are 7 innings, so an 8-inning game is basically a 10-inning game. But the Chattanooga Lookouts, they are now 10-19 as they've won 3 in a row. Chase Petty got the start in game number 1. He was fantastic. Just allowed 2 runs over 5 innings, only walked 1 batter and struck out 6. Petty now has a 1.80 ERA in 2 starts in May. So after a slow start to the season, he's looking like he is turning it around. Zach Maxwell came in with the bases loaded. He struck out the only batter that he faced. And Maxwell now has not allowed an earned run in 11 appearances this season. He's got 23 strikeouts and 11 2/3 innings pitched. On the offensive side, Tyler Callahan had a great day. He went 4-for-8 in the 2 games combined, hit a home run, his 4th of the season, drove in 2, and also stole a base, his 10th of the season. Austin Hendrick only played in game 1. He was 0-for-4. But Alan Serta, he was on base 4 times between the 2 games, also stole a bag. Down to high A, the Dayton Dragons, they lost 8-1 to Lake County. The Dragons only had 4 hits in their loss. They've now lost 3 straight to fall to 12-17 on the season. Yours truly was actually in attendance for this one. This was an afternoon game, 11 a.m. start time. Kind of, to be honest, didn't feel like a lot of the players on either side really wanted to be there. It was a game for local schools, basically. A whole bunch of buses that came in. They were there for about the first 6 innings, and they left. And then there was absolutely no one in the ballpark. The Dragons gave the day off to Cam Collier and Jay Allen, which was very disappointing for me. So not a whole lot to take away from this game. Dragons obviously didn't hit very well. Sal Stewart was 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts, but I will say he actually hit 2 balls very hard, got really robbed of a hit late in the game. I was really impressed with Sal Stewart, though, defensively. Sal was playing third base in this one. He's been playing second base mostly for the Dragons, but with Cam Collier getting the day off, he was at third base. On a bunt attempt, he threw out a runner, made a really nice play, running in, fielding the ball barehanded, throwing to first base. Really impressive, moves very well at third base. I was very impressed with Sal Stewart. Other not a whole lot else in this game, Hector Rodriguez 0-for-4, Carlos Jorge 1-for-4 with a double. Leo Balcazar, he was on base 3 times, had some really nice at-bats in this game. Victor Acosta, he had 2 walks in this one. He also struck out, and the ball went back, and he actually got on second base, kind of showing off his speed in this one. All right, and then last but not least, the Daytona Tortugas, they lost 14-7 to Lakeland. Tortugas actually gave up 10 runs in the last 2 innings. But Alfredo Duno, really good day, 3-for-5 with a double. Ricardo Cabrera, also a good day, 2-for-4 with a double. Unfortunately, Adam Cerwinski, who's just been Incredible, the left-handed pitcher for the Tortugas. Didn't have it on Wednesday night. He only retired one batter. Command was really off. He walked four batters in this one. All right, well, the Reds trying to avoid a series sweep, trying to avoid an 0-6 homestand. They'll be back at it bright and early Thursday afternoon, 1:10 p.m. Hopefully the rain will stay away in Cincinnati. This game is on Bally Sports Ohio, but it's also on MLB Network if you are out of the Cincinnati market. For the Reds, Hunter Green, 1-2, 3.12 ERA. For the Diamondbacks, the right-handed pitcher, Slade Ciccone, 1-2 with a 4.96 ERA. Some notes on Hunter Green. He's not allowed an earned run in each of his last two starts, covering 12 and two-thirds innings. Hunter's pitched really, really well of late, and boy, do the Reds need him to keep it up. Fortunately, the Reds just have not given him any run support, not just recently, really all year. Reds only averaging 2.7 runs per game when Hunter Green's on the mound. MLB average is 4.5. Green has a career 4.22 ERA in two starts against the Diamondbacks. His last start came in August of last season. Really struggled, didn't make it out of the fourth inning. Gave up five earned runs in that one. The active Diamondbacks, they're 6-for-25 against Green, but no one has hit a home run. No one has more than five at-bats. Some notes on Slade Ciccone. Ciccone's last time out gave up six earned runs and two home runs in four and a third innings against the Padres. Ciccone started 2024 in AAA. He got called up on August 21st, and he's made three starts. Ciccone was the number 33 overall pick back in 2020 out of Miami University in Florida. Very pedestrian minor league numbers, but he did make it to the majors, probably more out of necessity. I know the Diamondbacks had a lot of pitching injuries last year. Last year, though, Ciccone, he threw a gem at Great America Ballpark in what was just his fifth career start. He allowed just one run over five and two-thirds innings, didn't walk anyone, and struck out five. T.J. Friedl, Tyler Stevenson, and Will Benson each had hits in that game. All right, well, thanks so much for listening today to Chatterbox Reds. Well, it's been a tough time for our Reds, but I really do appreciate all of your support. If you're not yet subscribed to Chatterbox Reds, wherever you listen to this podcast, make sure you do that right now. Also, if you could, leave us a five-star review and tell another Reds fan about Chatterbox Reds. We would appreciate that. Yours truly, I will actually be hosting Off the Bench on Chatterbox Sports on YouTube on Thursday. That's 10 a.m. to noon, Chatterbox Sports on YouTube, with my pal Craig Sandlin. The rest of the guys, they are actually, Chatterbox Sports is covering a golf tournament. Looking forward to hearing a little bit more about that when those guys are doing. But me and Craig will be filling in. We'll talk a little bit about the Reds. Probably try to talk about a couple other things. Got some cool guests. Paul Frichtner, our old friend, going to come on and talk a little about college basketball and the transfer portal and all that's going on with that. And then I'm really excited to have Jack McMullen. He's also going to be on. He is the voice of the Indianapolis Indians. That's the Pirates AAA affiliate. He's going to talk about Paul Skeens coming up, making his major league debut. And also going to ask him about the draft, as the Reds have the number two pick this summer, as Jack's a guy who really covers a lot of that also for just baseball. All right. Well, again, thanks so much for listening. Hope that you have a great Thursday. We'll talk again soon. Go Reds.